Welcome to Rim Crim.
Welcome to Rim Crim.
Welcome to the podcast.
Rim Crim.
Welcome to the podcast. And it's another one here in the Rim Crim studios.
We didn't know that we were going to do another Rim Crim, did we?
Yeah. What? We did. Okay, we're doing another Rim Crim. It's a special Rim Crim. We're taking a look at the special half hour, right?
It's an anniversary Rim Crim.
Anniversary Rim Crim for the anniversary of Tim Merrick. Awesome show. Great job.
Great job.
And we just watched it, and we have a guest.
We have a special guest, first Rim Crimmer.
Identify. Not the first guest, the first in-house guest.
In-house guest of honor.
Hello, my name is Ryan.
Identify. Oh, you did.
He just did that.
Yeah. Sure.
Open your fucking ears, jackass.
Yeah, so Ryan just watched the awesome show, 10-year anniversary show with us.
Ryan Rakowski.
What's the relation to you?
He's the fruit of my brother's loins.
Okay, wow. Okay, cool.
AKA my nephew.
Oh, insert clap sound effect. So Dylan, we just watched it, and let's start off with, so Ryan, what was your background or knowledge of the comedy stylings of Tim and Eric before this tonight?
Well, I've watched a couple episodes. I'm not the biggest fan, but in terms of watching it, but mm-hmm. I've always been a fan of how funny it is and just like how good of a show it is. It's hilarious. So
we've watched it probably a few times together.
Yes.
And any standout bits from the previous viewings that you liked?
Well, my favorite skit, I'd say, ever is the D-Pants.
D-Pants?
D-Pants.
No solid loaves, right?
No solid loaves.
Which was hilarious. I cried the first time I watched that, so.
Why did it resonate with you? Why that one?
Because
the poop imagery?
It was just, yeah, hilarious. I mean, pooping himself in the pants.
That's what he did.
Yes.
But no solid loaves.
No solid loaves. The diarrhea.
And did you learn any lessons from that?
Did you take an apple?
I didn't take an apple because then I would poop my pants. Mm-hmm. Okay, but if I was wearing the D pants, then it would be okay.
Yeah. I mean, let's just throw this around to the group, but not Dylan. Dylan, you first. Would you buy D pants? First, tell us what D-Pants are.
Corey, D-Pants are for the time when you've got uncontrollable diarrhea and you need to poop in your pants on the go.
Right. Would you buy that? That's a Cinco product.
It's a member of, as it turns out, it's a member of the Cinco Brown family.
Mm. Oh, okay.
As revealed in the Awesome Show 10-year anniversary special.
So it's a good segue into what we watched tonight. So tonight's awesome show tonight. Well, the one we watched tonight.
It was aired last night at midnight, streamed on adultswim.com.
It's Monday.
Today's Monday.
But yeah, I'm just saying.
All day?
All day. Oh, and so today is still the day it technically came out.
Mm.
Midnight Monday.
Sure.
So tonight's awesome show, or this morning's.
If you're going to get all pedantic.
Awesome show, great job, 10-year anniversary. There was a sketch involving the Cinco Brown line, right, guys?
Yes.
You know what? Let's go through this line by line.
Okay, Dylan took some barely legible notes.
All notes that I take are barely legible. Let's be honest.
I mean, how did you do tests in school?
Poorly.
Okay, moving on.
We're gonna go there.
That's all we wanted to know.
All right. So first of all, we get a notification that it is, of course, Spaghetti Week. Which is, if you do recall, Corey, a long-standing Tim and Eric universe theme going all the way back to...
You're talking about the cold open of the show,
we had a cold open where they indicated Spaghetti Week.
On Channel 5.
Channel 5, their fictional news channel. No, fictional
the
channel.
The listeners know this.
Okay, fine. I don't need to explain Tim and Eric. I'm just telling you what happened. Okay? Is this how it's going to go?
Keep the train moving.
Okay, so Spaghetti Week goes a long-standing Tim and Eric tradition going all the way back to Tom Goes to the Mayor when they talked about marinara.
So Tim and Eric have a sort of preoccupation. One of their preoccupations is with spaghetti.
Correct.
That's what you're alluding to.
Correct.
Then why do you think spaghetti? Spaghetti seems to run through this whole episode. Let's throw this around the table. Not Dylan. Mm. Ryan. Why do you think spaghetti is funny?
I'm not quite sure because it's long and they're noodles. And
okay.
It's messy.
That's a fair
it's
answer.
Messy,
yeah.
It's
Dylan?
It's messy. It's messy and it's something that can get all over your face and all over your shirt.
I think it's because it's like the blandest pasta.
Of
it's
food?
The most boring fucking food. Like
I think that
that you can eat.
I think that would factor in.
Done just sort of relatively well, it's still the most boring thing you
can
eat.
Did somebody say done?
I'm not going to say it another two times until the end of this episode.
And then we can talk about it.
And then we can talk about that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and you know what? Like spaghetti is just it makes that sound with the sauce that Tim and Eric really like to make.
All food noises accentuated, that's a big thing.
Yeah, so like all their usual tropes are back in the awesome show 10-year anniversary episode. It's like they never left.
It was a return to the classics.
Oh, yeah. All the classics were back. We can name off all of the classic sketches that you got in here.
Let's go through them.
Okay, on your...
On my notepad.
On your scribbly notepad.
Okay, so we got the intro, which is usually some sort of...
cold open.
Well, I mean, it wasn't a cold open. The cold open was your spaghetti week.
Yeah.
Talking about... Oh, sorry. Okay, so then you had the theme song.
Mm-hmm.
No change to the theme song.
No change.
Then you had the introduction of the two boys. And they're talking about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was they were both into, as it turns out, some form of martial arts, taekwondo.
Two boys, Tim and Eric.
Yeah, the two boys.
Okay, two boys. So Tim and Eric, they have their sort of running story that they always have in the episodes. And in this one, they're both into martial arts, right?
Taekwondo.
And Ryan, what was the other one?
Tai Chi.
Tai Chi.
Sheesh.
It's a play on Tai Chi.
You got that.
Okay.
So that's reoccurring. We see that happening throughout the episode.
I really liked the scheduling for Tim was like the Apple calendar pop-up.
Yeah, you know, it followed like a very similar format to the original
but
series.
But a little bit updated, if you ask me.
Nothing really surprising. Like, everything was sort of, you know...
It was almost like exactly what you wanted.
Exactly what you want. Like if I had to make a critique, it was pretty predictable. Like you know, you know where they're going with every one of those comedic beats.
I mean, they have their other projects for differently styled comedic beats. So when you watch Awesome Show, the comedic beats you get are the ones that pertain to Awesome Show.
That is not specific at all. Thanks for that, Dylan. Moving on, what's your next note?
We had the morning meditations.
Right, which is their, like, sort of absurdist performance, usually, of the episode. Mm-hmm. Ryan, can you try and describe what that was?
Oh, wow.
Just, like, do your best. Like, if you can't, just do what, you know, do as well as you can here.
Well, it was the... It was a man, mm-hmm. an older gentleman, screaming and then saying no.
That's pretty much the whole thing.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
And then like a really ambient youth with an ambient music background,
yeah.
Colorful talent show set. Dylan, mm-hmm. down one page of your notes? That was a whole page?
That was the first
you threw
page.
It on the ground. You threw the page on the ground.
I kind of gently tossed it on the ground, if you want to be specific
about it. Seemed a little bit angry.
No, I was just moving on.
Okay, maybe he couldn't read
note?
It.
What's your next note? He couldn't
okay,
read it.
Okay, so next we have our first faux advertisement of the episode, first of two. This one was the newest Cinco product. under the Cinco Brown right. category. It was the Flat Hat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, same brown label that has the deep pants. Yeah, yeah. The same, yeah.
Brought to you by BM Farts, who if everyone recalls, made the Poop Tube.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a hat that I guess is connected to your asshole, so that when you fart, instead of going into the air, it fills up a hat that sort of expands like a Abraham Lincoln top hat,
like an accordion almost,
like an accordion
on your head.
And they're at like a funeral.
No, yes.
Yes, they're at a funeral, and then he like lets out a wicked fart, and the hat expands. And then they launch into the
So
ad.
Let's like okay. talk about so like some of the brown line products like the D pants, like
the Napple.
The what?
The Napple. Was the Napple there?
Was the Napple part of the brown line?
I feel like
I think the single shower was part of the brown line.
There was the diarrhea fram.
Yeah, in the aforementioned D pants. Now like I think the D pants really hit home with a lot of people, including Ryan here.
Yes.
Because
it was so vivid.
It's vivid, but it's also like they hit on something universal, which is you're in a tight spot. You're out maybe on a date with a nice piece of lovely woman, and or maybe you're at a family event, or maybe you're in a high stakes business meeting, and you know that. The lunch, the cheese sandwich you had for lunch, it's not sitting well.
Right. So
and you think to yourself at that moment, fuck, if I could only just stay here, not have to leave. Right? Like I would use D pants if it were socially acceptable. What about you guys?
No, but the flat hat I would because
okay.
I feel
the
like
flat hat would be something that you know, at least it's not you know, the D pants you're wearing, so you're literally swimming in a giant plastic bag of your own fecal matter. But the flat hat is basically just for gas.
What about you, Ryan?
I would agree with that because I feel like I wouldn't have liquid poo often enough to wear the pants, and it's more for it. You can't wear it with solid loafs, which I feel right. like I have more often.
Yeah, I think we all have solid loafs more often.
And the flat hat is for farts, and you know, people fart
a lot.
One thing I'd like to say.
Good points.
Yes. One thing I'd like to say is I love how the Cinco products generally always show how it could go wrong, especially, you know, with for example, the flat hat. It's like a liquid stream of shit sort of spouts out of his head.
Yeah, don't connect it to the poop tube.
This is for the flat hat. And it sort of showers on his date. He's just showering liquid shit onto her head.
Yeah, see, that's Tim and Eric going to that, you know, fecal extreme. The gross out extreme, if you wish. Did that work for you guys, humor-wise?
That's literally my favorite part.
That was extremely funny.
You enjoy... I sometimes don't enjoy people getting... like shat on via the air, you know.
I mean,
rained on with
because
with
it's so fake. It's not a big deal. It's not real shit. I don't think I can handle real shit. Just like I can't handle real hair being eaten. If you know.
Okay,
we'll get to that. But I'm just
the flat hat successful sketch again. You know, catches on that universal vibe. I could use this, but it's still ridiculous.
And then the closeout of the Cinco brands,
right?
Which was you know just amazing
because they did that. Remember, we saw long them, droning bass at the end, Cinco Brown,
as if it's like this all seeing corporation that has all these things that products that people would ever buy.
I think Cinco. I mean, Cinco is a direct satire of shitty companies, right? Of like shitty shopping channel companies.
Correct.
Right. And it just takes it to that, like, disturbing level, right? But, you know, I'm glad that Cinco exists.
So am I. So let's move on to them trying to, I guess, get people to come to their, the whole crisis was that they're going to have their.
Yeah, so a lot of the Tim and Eric regulars or just icons and characters who Dylan and I, have been sort of scouting and have interviewed even on this program, this Bud Guest before, sort of make an appearance. Including our good friend
Tennessee Luke
Luther Winston Fortenberry,
friend of the show
Tennessee Luke.
Tennessee Luke makes his appearance.
Yeah, I hope Tennessee, if you're out there and you're listening, I hope you've made that money to make your songs.
I'm sure he's listening to this,
and
I'm sure this is on his podcast playlist.
I hope it is. I really do hope it is.
We miss you, Tennessee.
And Sire made an appearance.
Sire, soon to be friend of the show.
Yeah, I hope so, Sire. I hope we get to talk to you soon. And who else was on his wall? On their walls there?
David Liebenhardt.
David definitely was there.
Friend of the show.
Another friend of the show. Bob Drewring was on the wall. He makes an appearance later.
Let's talk about
good folks. All the regulars are back.
Let's talk about DLH.
What do you want to talk about, DLH?
Well, his bit in the episode was fucking amazing.
So David Liebehart is back. Had you seen any David Liebehart before?
The creepy puppet guy.
Tonight? I have. Yeah, I have in one of the episodes in season four.
Do you remember what he did?
I'd like to say he's
what
not
song
creepy,
he sang, maybe?
He was singing a song.
It was about the internet?
I think so, yeah. It was.
Email. Email's a great way to stay in touch with one another.
Yeah, that was the song.
So David told us on this podcast that he's written hundreds and hundreds of songs and has not been paid for them.
Well, I mean, I'm wondering how much they're all worth.
You know, he is looking out for those royalty checks.
Well, hopefully this will give him a couple more checks in the mail.
But he did tell us that if you go back and listen to episode one of Rim Crim, this podcast you're listening to, that he wasn't being paid enough for the songs he wrote for Tim and Eric. But I think that he's not writing these songs after having watched his song tonight, which was about agriculture.
Well, I'm
growing food.
I'm certainly not interested in stirring the pot.
No, but I'm okay. You know, I have so much respect for David and for Jonah, manager. I don't know if Jonah's his manager. Just like this guy.
Jonah is absolutely his manager.
Okay, Jonah is his manager.
That's literally his job.
Props to Jonah. Jonah's great.
Jonah's our guy.
But I just don't think David wrote this song.
This is a question that we might want to have to ask him.
I mean, because there is liberal use of ridiculous made up foods. Did you write any of them down on your little scribbly notes?
No, but I did write, pump your worm in the dirt. What does that mean to you, Ryan? What does pump your worm into the dirt?
And what do you think?
Do you think that there was another meaning to what they were talking about? What he was saying about, rather?
Possibly, growing your own food is what he meant. And you got to put your worm in it to grow the food.
I think very literal.
I thought it was a euphemism for maybe something else.
The human fornicative ability, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe for one, the fornicative ability for one.
For one man.
One man to pump your worm.
Some of the different foods that he spotlights in the agriculture sketch.
Were real?
I don't know if I could recite them.
I'll tell you what.
Magna doodles, perhaps?
I've got them. I've got some screenshots from when I was watching it with my friend.
You screenshot it? You took a picture of your own TV?
I did, because I was watching it with shout-outs to Chris from Buffalo.
Why do people take pictures of screens? I don't know.
I don't know either. It's a mystery.
It's a screen. Why don't you just capture a still off
because
the screen?
Because it's a time thing. Okay, so what do we got?
I understand if you're at a concert.
All right. We got dimple dimples. Dimple dimples.
Dimple dimples.
Little tipple bits. Jamingles. Moby Doggies.
Moby Doggies. That one really stood out to me.
Maltinis. And then they, well, I think it starts off, right? Like there was the pumpkins. But the picture
rotted out. It was a rotted out.
Like they put pictures with them, and so the
like deflated pumpkin.
But all these like Moby Doggies, Jim Ingles, these aren't real. But like the pictures as well aren't real. I also want to just sort of touch on DLH's puppet.
Right. It was.
It was like a weird, monstrous, like
definitely one of his more elaborate puppets.
It's like it was like a bear. With like blue, like a blue eye mask.
Do you think that Tim and Eric paid for the construction of this giant?
I don't know. I think because David's been in the puppet business much longer than he's been in the Tim and Eric business.
No.
And, but, you know, I mean, when he had his, like he used to have, remember, he used to have his evangelist, Christian evangelist show on public access television.
But I feel like he, I feel like.
This was commissioned for the episode?
This episode had a much higher budget. Like you can see it in like the sort of fidelity of the more professionally shot sequences, namely the interludes with Tim and Eric. You know, had definitely a much sort of sharper, better lit visual style to it.
Mm-hmm.
This is all part of the Tim and Eric Awesome Tour, right? I mean, that's part of the reason why they put this on. And,
correct.
And also, I think they did this to promote the next season of Bedtime Stories.
Perhaps. Let's move on. Let's talk about Brule.
Okay.
Let's talk about Brule.
Brule's back.
Brule's back with another Brule's Rule.
Yeah.
And this one was about Bischetti.
It was also about Bischetti.
And
you had ringing on the Bischetti bell.
I really love the Brule character. I think it's a well that.
Do you think that he should have his own show?
I think he has his own show.
What? What's it called?
It's called Check It Out.
No, don't tell me. I'll find out later.
It's called Check It Out. And it's a whole show.
Have you seen this show, Ryan?
I have not seen the show.
It's like they've done how many seasons?
They've done 3 seasons. 3 seasons, 6 episodes each, plus a bonus episode, a pilot that the doctor made called
Bag Boy.
Bag Boy. With our good friend Scott Clam.
Oh yeah,
friend of the show,
Scott Stewart.
Scott Stewart.
I hope I didn't just mangle his name. He's a good guy. Friend of the show.
Just got to mix that interview.
Yeah, you better do it. Those are pretty good Brule's Rules. You know, not anywhere close to some of the more memorable ones. I think that, you know, this one was just sort of a one day, hey, Doc, can you just come in? And we really just need you for an hour. Probably turned into 4 or 5 hours. Knowing how the doc works, but you know, standard stuff from the doc.
Then the next up, we had a new character, Barry Stem.
Barry Stem. What did you think about Barry Stem, Ryan?
I forget what
Barry Stem was.
He was eating the raspberry stems.
Strawberries.
Oh, that was very funny. It was clever.
There weren't raspberries.
It was strawberries.
Clearly strawberries. The
strawberries. Okay.
Jeez.
Oh my God.
Put this guy in a field. Nope. New guy. Like they sort of, you know, supered him as a production assistant slash.
But he was
actor.
He was recalling some like Mork and Mindy or something.
Right. It seemed like they had just cut up an interview they made with him. But you know, the main conceit of this sketch was he was throwing away the actual fruit, the berries, and eating the stems.
Super weird.
I mean, like, how did that make you feel, Dylan?
I really liked it. It brought back, one of the old tropes about sort of men doing weird behaviors that didn't really make sense. followed by, you know, him smiling in a grotesque kind of like, you know, Photoshop kind of way.
You know who I would have liked to see, speaking of smiling?
Yeah.
Celeryman.
Everybody wants to see Tim Rudd. I think about...
Tim Rudd would have been great.
I think about Celeryman all the time. Tim Rudd?
Rudd?
No. Nope.
Isn't that his name?
Nope.
Tim Paul Rudd. Paul's Rudd. Middle name.
Paul Rudd. Next up, we had The Child Clowns, starring Steve McManahan from the Child Clown Outlet.
Right.
That one... Okay, so here's something I'd like to touch upon is... in order to promo for this show, they leaked... Not leaked, but Eric Wareheim's Instagram had a bunch of these clips. So if I were to see, for example, the Steve McManahan Child Clown clip, I watched that probably 50 times in a row as soon as I saw it. I'm like, oh, my God. And I just played it for my friends, and they got really mad because it's just like... You know, repetitive, like, with like belches.
Right. It's a lot of very aggressive, rapid fire editing.
It's one of my favorite Tim and Eric bits. So you had this Child Clowns. Then you had more weird sensei guys. The scenes with the senseis.
Yeah. More of Tim and Eric laboring over who's going to come to their respective taishish. Or Taekwondo event
ceremonies. Yeah,
in they're both living in these sort of like very bland Los Angeles apartments.
Always, you know, I always love that. With those bland apartments.
Yeah, yeah. Everything. I think this.
That's like a real reflection of their lives there, though.
Of their lives.
At least at some point, when they got there.
I feel like Tennessee Luke, when he called us, lived in like one like a nice version of those apartments.
That was such an amazing call. You know, we have that video footage of all of that.
We do, and I don't know. Rim Crim Premium members will get access.
Yeah, I believe it's a pretty high cost of...
Rim Crim Premium?
10 CDOS points.
Rim Crim Premium.
You want to buy into Rim Crim, you have to turn in your CDOS points.
You pretty much have to unsubscribe from Netflix, Spotify, Tidal, Hulu... Crave TV,
Apple Music,
Show Me Plus,
Vimeo.
You have to actually delete your Google account.
And you can't use Dropbox anymore.
You can't use Firefox or Chrome. You must go back to
can't watch YouTube.
Netscape for sure.
You have to get it off the black market.
No more MySpace either.
And then download it, install it on Windows 96, not 95.
Yep.
And then log on to rimcrim.com, sign up for RimCrim Premium, and pay however much we tell you to pay a month.
Next up, we had the dating one. What's that called again?
This is like video match. I think.
Video dating video match. What I love about that bit is Snapchat virtually copied that as a filter where it like squishes your face in.
It gets rid of your nose.
It gets rid of your nose. It's so good.
I feel like...
But they did that like 10 years ago.
I feel like a lot of what Snapchat is doing is a little bit cribbed off of the ridiculousness of absurd humor. Like, you know, the absurdity of turning your face into a dog and then sending it to your mom.
Or using it as your fucking dating profile picture. Come on, people. This has got to stop. I can't...
Hold on, Dylan. Let's dig into this.
I can't believe how many people have those flowers around their head as their dating profile pic. It is unbelievable how anyone would think that's acceptable.
Do you know about what Dylan's talking about?
Ryan doesn't use dating apps.
I know, but on like social media, a lot of profile pictures.
But social media is not
dating. A lot of boys and girls that you know, do they have that? Do they do that?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, a lot of them.
That's fine for little boys and girls. But like grown adults using like a dog, like with like the tongue hanging out.
Well, that's a bit odd.
That's my rant for the day.
What if I wanted to put a beautiful pink tiara
on your penis,
Dylan?
Why, Corey? Why would you do that?
Stop it! On my head.
Your penis head.
Yes.
It's weird, Corey.
of my skull.
Oh, okay.
Cap.
I messed up.
Keeper.
Your keppy.
My keeper.
Corey, you know what that makes me think about?
Oh. Wow.
Jesus Christ, Dylan. Where's your what's it called? Fla hat.
My fla hat.
You forgot your fla hat. That's not what's the next scribbled notes, you dirty animal?
All right, so the dating, the girl wanted leads right into the tiny guineas, which had Tim and Eric on these sort of like go-kart Lamborghinis with like lipstick,
braces,
glossy lipstick, and dolls with braces. I can't deal.
With this episode, they were putting in a lot of fan service.
All fan service.
But also, they were looking to, you know, create a gateway effect for many new fans. Perhaps a new fan sitting on this couch.
Right here?
Right here. You, Dylan. Or Ryan.
Or maybe me.
Or both.
Mostly Ryan.
I think that's what they were trying to do, because I think this baby guinea sketch, they would never do that.
I disagree, because here's why.
In the first season or second season of Awesome Show, they would never do a sketch like that.
Here's why I disagree.
Okay.
Perhaps you're familiar with a person, a man, a legend named Doug Pound. Perhaps you're familiar with Doug Lusenhop. You're familiar?
Quite.
He loves the Lamborghinis. He had a bit on one of his CDs, which I purchased at the show, which is about Lamborghinis and cocaine on his gummies, makes his nummy gummies. He likes Lamborghinis. It's an old bit. It's
not
an
a convincing old argument right here, Dylan.
Well, I'm telling you, this is an old bit of theirs.
My critique is that it was a bit too sort of like on the nose.
I just thought it was weird and creepy, but that's all of their stuff.
Yeah.
Next up, we had an old fan favorite, Pierre.
Right, played by
friend of the show, Ron Ostar.
Ron, Mr. Ron Ostar is a future guest.
Future guest of the show.
We've already recorded his interview. He is a glorious, beautiful man.
I wish he was my dad.
Great energy. Great, great energy. We didn't really talk about dads too much. We talked about...
Nope. We talked about, you know, his life.
Like his life and what informs his being. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, the Ron and the Pierre that you know on screen... That's just a sliver.
He's actually a much nicer guy.
Of
really,
the personality.
He's sort of a really warm, deep soul. I'd like to give him a hug.
Yeah, I'd like to give Ron a hug. Ron and London. They're both beautiful folks.
London being his partner?
Yeah. Anyways, so we have Ron / Pierre.
And then he was talking to a boy about his dad. And then he had a little advertisement. Another Cinco gem for the Cinco.
So Ryan, why don't you explain what the product was in this case? Do you remember the sketch?
I'm at a loss right
now. With the hair.
Oh yeah, he was because he didn't like going to the hairdresser. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And the product was you get a needle in your nipple and your hair doesn't grow. It the follicles go back in your head,
right,
and
they recede into your body,
into your stomach,
so that the hair just sort of gathers in your digestive tract,
and then you just vomit out the hair.
You've got a scene here of Ron literally puking up hairballs, a giant one.
But like it was so fucking wet and viscous.
It was wet, and it was. It was orange.
He had to cut it out of his
dark
orange.
Mouth. He had to cut out the excess hair out of his mouth.
It was like Jerry Curl hair.
So like picture what Ron is doing for Tim and Eric here. He's sort of kneeled down on the floor. There's a camera pointed up at him, and he's got hair sticking out of his. I mean, there's no question that there's wet hair sticking out of this man's mouth as he's shooting this scene.
That's actually probably the hardest thing, more than the pooping, more than the all
the shit.
You
commented on this while we were watching this.
Yeah, the eating of the hair is for me probably the hardest thing to watch, more than anything else. Like that one the Tim where Tim eats the hormone shake shit and then he's right.
has to eat his own puberty episode
where he eats his own pubic hair.
Right.
I couldn't handle that. That makes
that
me
was
sick.
The most extreme because in the puberty episode, like he sort of dips it in like a shake,
yeah,
like a drink, and it's this like wet, long, thick hair that he literally like eats.
It's so disgusting.
And eating hair, you know, they don't really. It's interesting because in like gross out movies, they don't really attempt it too much. It's not sort of a, they don't there aren't a lot of
there's no
eating I, hair beats.
No,
in
this
gross
is
out
this
movies.
Is this is probably the yeah maybe
because
that.
It's so bad. It's just so gross
because it's always like something they put extra sound effects in.
They do put extra sound effects in, but like even the idea you're thinking about eating your own hair or eating hair in general is. A really, really disturbing concept because of the sort of texture and string. I mean, even talking about it is disgusting.
Okay, so let's move on to...
Funny sketch, though.
Another
good job, Ron.
Another bit with sort of people... Tim and Eric Unknowns, these women singing, their voices are manipulated. They're kind of doing like this weird sort of therapeutic singing in a circle to each other.
Right, so this was like a very, like, this is one of those David Lynchian...
It's a mood piece. It's a Tim and Eric mood piece. It's not actually funny. It's just weird.
So were you guys disturbed? Were you amused?
I was like, amused when the bass player came in.
So the women are chanting
punk rock
at a really
bass.
High tone in a circle, and then the camera... very quickly pans over to a dude in leather playing slap bass.
The slap bass theme.
Ryan, what's like
prevails.
The first thing coming through your mind when that happens?
I was amused, but yeah. A bit confused at the same time.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't really clear what was going on.
I'm with you. I was, you know, you're mostly confused in those sketches, but I feel like with Tim and Eric and what they do and like, you know, it's a very David Lynchian sort of thing as well. Like catching me off guard in any sort of art, film, TV, music, whatever. That's like the exhilarating stuff. That's the fun stuff, right? When you're just completely caught off guard.
Let's move on to Uncle Muscles. The return of Uncle Muscles, played by the classic comedian. And singer and parodyist Weird Al Yankovic. And he plays Uncle Muscles, who always presents Casey and his brother, a Tim and Eric favorite, where they this is their most lo-fi bit of the whole series.
Definitely, they use that. It looks like a VHS quality, right, Ryan?
Yes.
So what they do, I'm not sure if you know this, is they like. They first film it. I believe this is how they do it. They film it with like the standard sort of regular digital cameras.
Corey, talking to the
microphone. And then they run all the footage. They dub it all to VHS, and then
which lowers the quality,
and then they put it into a VHS tape, and then like kick and like just sort of break it a little bit
to create what's called an artifact,
like to make it even worse. And then they redigitize the VHS tape into their computers. So they're basically working with shitty quality footage.
Mm-hmm.
And they're behind a green screen. They're using really, really bad sort of... the music is awful. And they're singing about basically the most base thing. Like, Casey is clearly a child with developmental disabilities. So he's singing stuff like, I want to go on a carnival ride. And it's his brother wearing like a fucking
zebra mask,
and he's just doing these like weird dances, weird provocative dances.
I feel like the Casey and his brother sketch, like what is it a satire of like?
It's a satire of someone getting
of,
on
like, local talent show.
Local talent show, but has no business being anywhere.
Right.
There's no talent.
Of like a really shy, badly dressed boy. Who has like cuts and scars?
There's clearly. It's become the gross out humor of Casey.
Right.
Always ups the ante. So in this one, for example,
the vomit
comes out of his mouth, and he's like, blah! Like he's just
it's like the 1988.
He's not aware of how disgusting he is.
It's like the 1988 nightmare version of like a sort of. Kentucky talent show or something.
So good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a classic sketch, I think, for a lot of reasons. It's one that really has been there from the beginning, and they've come back to time and time again. I think they did it at an awesome tour. On one of the tours, they
yeah, they usually dress up, you know, Eric in a giant hamburger bun.
That, right.
And then when he, like, lifts his arms, the hamburger bun goes up, and I think it's supposed to like reveal his dick or something, or like his him and his undies. It's always kind of like, yeah,
everything.
Like, I don't really want to look at this.
Anything that Tim and
but
Eric,
I love what they're doing. It's a bit much for me.
Anything that Tim and Eric sort of satire is always like the nightmare version of it. So like that's my question to you, Ryan. Like, are you more amused by this stuff, or you know? Like, is any of it sort of disturbing to you in a way that's just like, oh, man, why? Because like a lot of people like sort of have that feeling and then just turn it off.
Well, when I first like see the skit or whatever, and then I question myself like, why would someone think of this? Like, how is this even coming in someone's head? But then I just realize that it's funny as fuck. So just keep watching it. It's
yeah.
Hilarious.
Well, that's why Dylan and I love it so much, because like you have that initial sort of raw feeling. But you know, by the time you get to the end of each of the sketches, like it's just this is just funny.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they're trying to make a statement. I think that they've, you know, their statement is, if anything, that things can be funny because they're not funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because it's not funny.
It's funny because it's disgusting. It's funny because it's disturbing. It's funny because it's wrong.
I think for them, part of the goal is that they want their parents to find out that they've done something, and they want to know that their parents would be embarrassed to show their friends that they did that.
Right.
They've mentioned something along those lines before.
And the sort of the term that gets bandied about in, you know, very like high-minded deconstructions of Tim and Eric, which are all bad. Every single one of them are just like
only ours. Only ours should be regarded as
yeah,
the right.
Yeah, this is
one.
Just a this is a very bottom of the rung type of intelligent conversation.
Are we the bottom of the rung, Corey?
Well, I hope we are. This is what we're shooting for. Is the bum level. you know, like they say that Tim and Eric use a lot of echolalia, which is a term. That describes the like repetition of words to absurd effect, right? Like the way that they sort of use like sound effects again and again and again, or on the Cinco Brown sketch with this like just the sort of the drone, you know, in the classic.
It's like an analog synth.
You know, in one of the sketches with like Eric like pressing the buttons of the phone, you know. Constantly, incessantly, repeatedly.
Oh my god, that's a shit. See, and that's why I like it a lot. Is that repetitiveness that you've just mentioned is something that I've been doing my whole life.
Right.
Just. I think that it's like if you say a word, an ordinary word over and over again, it starts to sound funny in your own head.
Right, and it, you know, like when you're a kid, I think you do a lot of that sort of repetition because. Your parents will tell you, stop doing that. And then you do it again. And you do it again. And you just keep doing it. and the only person that's laughing is your parents want to, you know, like kill themselves, literally shit and kill themselves.
Speaking of parents,
but you are amused. Like that's where it comes from for me. That sort of subversive style of humor.
Speaking of parents, subversive. Let's that's a good segue into our good friend Will Grello makes an appearance.
Oh right, Will Grello played by the lovely Will Forte.
Will Forte is back. Will Forte. A Tim and Eric favorite.
Oh yeah. Did you ever see any of the other Will Grello sketches, Ryan?
Fording with Will?
I have not, I don't think.
No. after having seen this one, go back and watch Fording with Will. Okay. Which is interesting because his character is named Will Grello, and his name is Forte. Fording with Will.
Yeah.
It's just like a complete shitstorm. It's all so wrong. So usually these sketches center around Will's, you know, Will trying to instruct people how to do something.
While having a serious meltdown about his father.
Right.
Another amazing meltdown. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. So in this one, he's about to give a woman a massage when he recalls how his father wouldn't let him touch himself.
Wouldn't let him wipe his ass.
Right.
And it was very specific about the membrane and toilet paper and more fecal imagery.
More fecal imagery. I feel like they let Will Forte just sort of run wild with these sketches. Like, it's just all improv. I feel like they do because it's such Will Forte style humor. I could be wrong. I mean, there's an element of it that's written.
His character generally doesn't stray from him losing his shit. In the billion-dollar movie, his character was almost identical as well.
Right. Wasn't Will Grello, though.
Wasn't Will Grello, but it was a guy who would lose his shit.
The sword store. Guy. Yeah.
The sword store. What else we got? Then we, I think
that
we,
was yeah. So that was great. Classic Will Forte yelling. Those sketches, I find, they like really really disturb me, but also make me laugh the hardest of any of the sort of celebrity comedian focused sketches.
My all time favorite has to be when he had the mattress store.
Oh, so that was another character that Will Forte played for Tim and Eric, Paul Willow.
Paul Willow, good memory.
Right.
Paul Willow. And then it's sort of like, you know,
I'm a demon.
Smash cuts to him like,
you remember that, fam?
Tearing off the limbs of his nemesis.
They really use Will Forte to take
the most dire.
Like the most sort of soft
juxtaposition,
activities, you know, fording or quilting, massages, and take them to the most psychologically damaging degree.
Correct.
I love that. And this one, out of quilting with Will, fording with Will, and what did they call this one?
Self-massages.
Self-massages with Will.
Self-massaging.
This is at the bottom rung, but still very funny. I urge Ryan, you here, and everyone else to check out Fording with Will because it is a tour de force of sadness.
Have you watched Last Man Standing?
Yes. It's not called Last Man Standing.
Well, what is it called?
The Last Man on Earth.
Have you watched Last Man on Earth?
Yes.
Good.
A few seasons.
Good.
I'm not caught up, though.
I'm not caught up either. Next, we had the business guys in a boardroom.
Oh, right. The karaoke song.
Well, mm-hmm. The lead up to the karaoke song is some men talking about what their wives will make them. And this was the sort of the grand finale tie-in to the spaghetti theme. Which was a man.
Right, it's a friend of the show, actor Bob Drewing.
I feel like we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Why?
Because you haven't booked him yet.
We'll get Bob on the show.
He's friend. He's your Facebook friend.
He just accepted me as we were watching the show. He.
It will be a real travesty if he doesn't agree to.
I'll talk to Bob.
You talk to Bob there.
You remember drawing with Drewing? That was one of his first sketches on Awesome Show.
So was he in? Was he in? He was in the fake sitcom that they did.
In Bag Boy?
No, the other fake sitcom. It was a canon season. It was a actual Awesome Show episode, but they were like, it was like a fake 80s sitcom, and they were like dancing and smelling their own urine and stuff.
Wait, was that Just Two Boys?
Oh.
Just Three Boys?
Just Three Boys, correct.
That was not an Awesome Show episode. It was an episode of Funny or Die Presents.
Okay, the one David Liebenhardt was in there. Richard Dunn, the great James Quall was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, how could you not remember? It's snowing out.
Oh yeah.
He was in that one.
I remember that one. Yeah,
took you a while.
I do remember that. That involved there was a moment with Tim in a blanket that went on for a long time.
No, yeah, it was his coat. It wasn't a blanket. It was his coat.
It was his coat, right.
Well, I remember that one. I've seen that before.
Okay.
It was funny.
It was funny.
It's all funny in games.
And then we got to the karaoke of I Warned You, I Don't Want Spaghetti Again.
Right. So all the men are talking about steak, and then it morphs into this karaoke song about how Bob Drewing's wife makes crappy dinners.
And always makes him spaghetti.
Always makes him spaghetti. And the chorus is, I warned you.
I don't want spaghetti again.
I think that...
Very catchy.
I think that is one of the greatest sing-along karaoke satires.
Better than the Frank
Stallone? Yes, way better than Frank Stallone,
but not better than
turning your room into a computer room. You know what? Frank Stallone released an album in the 80s that is pretty funky,
like Afro funky.
No, like sort of 80s pop AOR funky.
What's AOR for
album? Adult oriented rock.
Oh,
which is sort of like. Just funky pop music. It's not rocky at all. Mm. That's for another podcast at another time. But
I would say that's for CDOS.
Yeah, it's more CDOS.
CDOSian, as it were.
But here we have a bunch of killer lines in this song. My favorite being no garlic bread for me to dip. He's just listing off a number of things that he's not getting. I bet the sauce is just from a jar. It's great.
and an amazing reveal
as he's critiquing his wife.
Reveal, get it? Reveal.
What
do I get for that?
There is a reveal.
Ryan just gave me a high five. A veal reveal.
And then the song ends with his wife presenting the reveal parmesan.
Yep. Which brings us to the conclusion of the episode. Back to Tim and Eric on their little pedestal.
Right. And then they say...
Son of a dun. A major Awesome Show... tribute to the magic of the late great Richard Dunn. It was a boy,
R.I.P.
A boy dressed up as Richard Dunn.
I consider Richard Dunn to be a spiritual friend of the show.
I mean, I would like to maybe talk to maybe some of his kin.
Yeah,
one day.
I think you know what, we'll get Tenise on the show. Tenise Gray.
Uh-huh. You know. She was also in the final scene.
Yeah, because she,
show.
I mean, she was there along with Richard Dunn for a few sketches.
Correct.
Just her and him.
Her and him. So we had a little reveal, a couple audio samples from the late great Richard Dunn saying things like pizza and what was the other?
Reggae.
Reggae.
The end of the episode on reggae.
Just the sound of Richard Dunn's voice saying reggae.
So
a bit of a tearful tribute, if you ask
Tim
me.
And Eric sort of disappear away to Dunderland.
And that was our awesome show reunion, revival.
Yeah, and so I think it was, like, all things considered, a very sort of classic episode, followed all the tropes, brought back all the characters, did some new things, but generally sort of didn't really push the envelope too much in terms of the Tim and Eric universe. Nothing new was really introduced. It was just sort of a way to call back all of the greatness.
Correct.
That was Awesome Show.
However, Corey, the Tim and Eric universe is continuing to expand with the likes of the Bedtime Stories.
Most definitely.
Coming this season, season two.
Yeah, we'll do recaps.
We'll recap a couple of episodes, maybe all of them.
Yeah.
We're going to go see them live twice next month. We're going to go see them for that little fire chat theater.
We'll see them.
We're going to see them headline at the
do a little
the Sony
do a little
Center.
Sort of comedy workshop.
Workshop. I think that should be interesting. I don't know if it's really what we need, but we're going to go anyways.
We need it.
We need it. And I think with this, we should sign off.
So, Ryan, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank
today.
You for guesting.
Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Honorary Rim Crim member.
Talk about your experience on Rim Crim today.
It was very interesting. I like to hear what you guys have to say about Tim and Eric and their shows and stuff. It was interesting.
Cool. Do you think you'll like keep an eye out for more Tim and Eric stuff after having been so immersed in it in one evening?
I will most certainly try to.
Ryan's a busy boy.
And I do have a lot of things to do, but if I'm ever just feeling jonesing for some Tim and Eric, I'll flip on some, I don't know, Bedtime Stories maybe.
Correct. Or maybe you'll just be inundated with the links that I probably send him anyways.
Yeah. You know, maybe we'll get Ryan's father on the podcast.
Oh, I'm sure.
And we'll have a family crim.
We could family crim it up.
We could figure that out.
That would be interesting. Because, you know, your dad is an actual big fan of Tim and Eric. He really likes it.
Mm-hmm. He does really like it.
So hopefully we do that. So there you have it. There's our summation of the Tim and Eric Awesome Show. Great job, 10-year anniversary show.
Thank you to all our new listeners on our new podcast.
I really enjoy the three of you and what you have to offer.
And, check out our old podcast, CDOS. Check out Corey's new band, Corey.
That's my band, me. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on Apple iTunes, on Google Play, on Stitcher, and anywhere else that you can get podcasts.
Put a review in.
Leave a review on Apple iTunes. It seriously helps us get us noticed so that more Rim Crimmers, Tim and Eric fans and Pep Peps out there.
And we're on Facebook.
And we're on Facebook and we're on Instagram and we're on Twitter. I don't have the time to update all of them yet. All of them exist.
Corey's going to do all that stuff.
I'll do whatever I want to do. Mm-hmm. And until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Great job. Rim, 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 rim